or 60% or whatever it is to take the booster, it's not going to work. This whole notion of a booster shot, it's fine. Will I get it? I probably won't be the first in line, but I will eventually get it. It doesn't scare me. But the first two shots, Pfizer, didn't scare me either. But I will tell you this. This is, it's the self-fulfilling prophecy. The same thing that happened before with the two dose shots is going to happen with the booster. You're going to have 70%, 60%, 50% say, yeah, sure, let's get it. And everybody else going to say, not me, man. I'm not going to be the first in line to get this. Stay where you are. Coming up, Michael Shouse will chronicle what has been an amazing day in American history. Hightailing it out of Afghanistan. And there, some of the Taliban and the ISIS were shooting into the air, celebratory shooting late into the night in the streets of Kabul. We'll talk about that and more coming up. I'm Kevin Wall. Stay where you are on AM 670 KMZQ, where news is next. It's finally happened. We're finally free. Hey, Kevin Wall here, and my friends at Ichabod's Lounge are at 100% capacity with the same old Vegas atmosphere customers have come to expect for more than three decades. Ichabod's, even after a pandemic, it's still one of the top gaming bars in Las Vegas with the best promotions and amazing monthly cash giveaways and payouts. As they say at Ichabod's, we manage with generosity. When everyone else is cutting back, Ichabod's continues to super serve its customers and now super serving mask-free. Ichabod's Lounge features an incredible menu, including steaks, seafood, burgers, pastas, and five daily specials. And at Ichabod's Lounge, their kitchen is open 24/7 for you late-night foodies. Check out their nightly entertainment at the Piano Bar. I just love it. You want to win? You want to celebrate our freedom? Then I'll see you at Ichabod's Vintage Vegas Dining, Gaming Lounge, and Piano Bar on East Flamingo at Pecos.
Broadcasting live from the world-famous Las Vegas Strip, AM 670 KMZQ, Las Vegas. Locally owned and operated by Kep Broadcasting and Digital Outdoor.
Breaking news this hour from townhall.com. I'm Keith Peters. The last American flight from Afghanistan has left Kabul with the Taliban now in control of the country. General Frank McKenzie, who commands U.S. Central Command, says no American civilians were on that final flight out of Kabul.
No American citizens came out on the last, what we call the joint tactical exfiltration, the last five jets to leave. We maintained the ability to bring them in up until immediately before departure, but we were not able to bring any Americans out. That activity ended probably about 12 hours before our exit, although we continued the outreach and would have been prepared to bring them on until the very last minute, but none of them made it to the airport and were able to be accommodated.
He also said at a Pentagon press conference Monday he thinks the Taliban will have difficulty securing Kabul in the coming days, not least because of the threat they face from the Islamic State group's Afghanistan affiliate. House Republican leader Kevin McCarthy reacted to the withdrawal.
In my opinion, we have a whole administration. And if you look at this administration, many of them worked before. They worked in a past administration that gave us Syria. It could be giving us one more Syria problem that we have now.
Officials are looking into the damage wreaked by Hurricane Ida as the storm slammed into Louisiana and Mississippi with 170-mile-an-hour winds. Louisiana Governor John Bel Edwards says residents need to be patient.
This is going to be a very long ordeal in terms of getting everything cleaned up and certainly getting everything repaired. And please understand, we're going to be in life-saving mode doing search and rescue as a first order of priority.
Ida's been downgraded to a tropical depression, but its winds and rain are still strong enough to create problems in its path. On Wall Street, the Dow down by 55 points. The NASDAQ, however, rose 136. The S&P advanced 19. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Tell me why Relief Factor is so successful in lowering or eliminating pain. I'm often asked that question. Pete and Seth Talbot, the father and son founders of Relief Factor, tell me they believe our bodies were designed to heal. The doctors who formulated Relief Factor selected the four best ingredients, 100% drug-free ingredients that each help your body deal with inflammation. Order the three-week quick start now. Discount it to only $19.95 to see if it will work for you too. Call 800-500-8384. ReliefFactor.com.
Right now, people are home with their pets more often, and I think now, especially with the shedding, they're more cognizant of what's going on and that it's an actual issue, and Dynavite has helped tremendously in our house with that.
I just heard the Dynavite commercial so many times, I said, you know what, I'll give it a shot, and I ordered it and tried it, and it worked.
The Dynavite, the being at home, working with them, they all love it.
Me and Chewy are together 24/7.
Within 3 weeks, he's not scratching and itching, and he's an all-around happier dog.
DinoVite.com.
Alex and Orlando De Castroverde grew up in a hardworking Nevada family. Their mom and dad both worked as dealers, even while dad got his law degree. They built De Castroverde Law Group Personal Injury to carry on their father's legacy. When you've been injured, they understand your challenges and fight for the compensation you deserve. De Castroverde Law Group Personal Injury. Our family will fight for yours. Online at dlgteam.com or call 702-222-9999.
Hi, I'm State Senator Scott Hammond. These are difficult times for all of us, a time set apart. But our Las Vegas community has always come together when we need to. We all have a part to play, and it is heartwarming to know that our community is strong enough to fight this. Many of you also have questions or concerns, which is why I have compiled as much information and resources on my website as possible. Please visit HammondForNevada.com/COVID-19. That's HammondForNevada.com/COVID-19. Paid for by friends of Scott Hammond.
It's 4:04. This is your KMZQ News Flash, powered by De Castroverde Law Group. If you've been injured, their family will fight for yours. I'm Jim Dallas. A team made up of 38 local firefighters and civilians are in Louisiana to help respond to Hurricane Ida. Clark County officials say the firefighters make up most of an aid team known as the Nevada Task Force 1 Urban Search and Rescue. County officials say the team could end up helping with day-to-day calls because local rescue crews are being overwhelmed. The team is expected to be in Louisiana for the next 10 to 14 days. The entire California side of Lake Tahoe Basin is being evacuated as the two-week-old fire continues to make its way towards the resort community. Fire officials warned all residents on the California side of Lake Tahoe to evacuate. The blaze, which broke out August 14th, is just 19% contained. It's burned more than 245 square miles. That's an area bigger than the city of Chicago. More than 600 structures have already been destroyed. The Oakland A's moving to Las Vegas might be a step closer after the Alameda County Administrator on Friday expressed misgivings about opting into a proposed tax district to help fund a new ballpark in the Bay Area. They've been here five times.
KMZQ On-Time Traffic is powered by Meineke Car Care Centers. Right now, come in for a synthetic blend oil change for just $17.95.
Still very, very slow through the Spaghetti Bowl downtown due to those lane restrictions. 515 east at Main Street, also 515 westbound at Eastern. Give yourself some extra time to get through there for the next few months. Also, construction on Interstate 15, both directions at Tropical Parkway in North Las Vegas. That area closes at 7 p.m. tonight.
And in addition to that, we have to make sure that we are in a position that we are. Well, let me go to the second thing. I've spoken enough of that.
And what makes his wild claims and hopes. He now hopes we don't notice what he said or won't remember. And when he does follow through or doesn't do, when he follows through, the exact opposite.
Check it out!
COVID has taken this year, just since the outbreak, has taken more than 100 years. Look, here's the lives. You think about it.
Don't call me stupid.
Oh, right. To call you stupid would be an insult to stupid people.
Number one. Time is running out. Number two. Time is running out. Number three.
Ladies and gentlemen, Kevin Wall.
So good to have you with us. Hour number two, live and local for a Monday. And Michael Schaus joining us, Communications Director for NPRI. That's Nevada Policy Research Institute. And for those of you that don't know, that this special NPRI report brought to you by Nevada Trucking Association, Paulinos, and the great men and women who get stuff from point A to point B all across our state. First of all, Michael, good to have you with us. You've been following what's been going on in Afghanistan, and I got to ask you, your thoughts at the end of America's longest war. It was a long time coming, and it's not the way we saw it ending. What did you think of what happened today?
You know, it's this entire fiasco, not just today, but, you know, since we announced we were going to be withdrawing. If anybody out there ever thought the government could do anything well, this should put that to rest. It's been an absolute mess from the beginning, and it's just a good reminder that even on the things that government is supposed to do well, I mean, you know, running the military is kind of one of the core functions of the government, it's still just incapable of doing it in a way that is efficient or productive. And so, yeah, I think you take a look at what's going on in Afghanistan, and you can very easily scale that down to, you know, the failures we see in our own backyard. I mean, whether that's the reaction to the fire up north, or that's theater, or it's public education, or what have you, it's all a function of the bureaucracy of government getting in the way of it, of government actually doing what it's supposed to be doing.
And you know what's weird is the thing government does best, out of all the things, collecting taxes and all the stuff that they end up doing, the thing they do best is the military. And whether it's 16 years ago today going into New Orleans, it wasn't until the military got involved that that thing started getting fixed.
Yeah, you know, and traditionally that's really very much been the case. And part of the reason why is because traditionally politics has been a little bit distanced from the military. The military reacted. I mean, if you look at World War II, there's a great example when you start to look at World War II, and one of the reasons why we were just better at fighting wars back then than we were even by the time Vietnam came around was because it was less of a political decision to start firing generals. In World War II, you know, Omar Bradley, George Patton, I mean, you know, all these guys, they would fire people and get fired immediately when somebody did not perform up to expectations. And sometimes they were rehired because, found out that, you know, we actually need them in some cases. But over the years, especially since World War II, that aspect is very much dissolved, and politics become more intertwined with the military. And what we're seeing in Afghanistan today is a result of that. It's a result of politics being so deeply embedded in the military that it really has lost its ability to function the way it's supposed to.
Let me just ask you, Looking at what has happened, not just in the last couple of weeks or losing 13 American heroes, but I'm just curious what you think of the overall plan. And again, there was a Trump plan, which was May 1st, but that was ground-based, and you know, the Taliban had to do certain things and not do other things. But what did you think of the plan overall for exiting?
Well, I guess the big question is what plan? you know, it doesn't feel like there has been one. I was reading a story in ABC News talking about this group of former special operatives that have just taken it upon themselves to try to get people out of Afghanistan that need out. I mean, they so far have rescued hundreds and hundreds of people, but what was really striking is that it took some folks saying, we're going to do this, even though nobody in the upper brass has told us to do this. We're just going to do it on our own because it needs to be done. And the fact that that has been, those types of stories have been the success stories, really tells you that there were a lot of things that were overlooked, a lot of things that just were not taken into consideration. There were a lot of people involved up and down the chain of command across administrations who failed to really consider the on-the-ground consequences of what was going to happen. And that, to me, is, you know, I mean, yes, a lot of the fault goes to Biden and the Biden administration, but really just over the last two decades, we have seen this kind of repeatedly and manifest in more and more profound ways where the folks who were calling the shots were not really in tune with what was going to happen on the ground. And I think that's what we're seeing right now is the amplification of that. People simply were not ready for, I mean, the Pentagon was originally saying, oh, maybe 90 days and the Taliban will really be taking control. And within a week, the Taliban was everywhere. And that really tells me that they were not interested in talking to the people who were actually having their lives threatened. They were sitting there probably looking at a spreadsheet or something and trying to figure out through analytics what would happen.
The Pentagon is saying some 5,400 Americans got out. There are probably around 250 that wanted to get out but could not get out. Any feel for what happens to them?
You know, it's going to be interesting to see how it all plays out. But, you know, again, I mean, even a large chunk of the Americans that did get out successfully did not get out because of the competency of the U.S. military. They got out because there were some groups. Some of them were American soldiers that were over there. Some of them were, there was an entire kind of underground railroad, basically evacuation plan that was put into place by civilians and by individual soldiers.
That's the Pineapple Express, right?
Exactly. Yeah. And I mean, you look at the success of that, that was not a function of the Pentagon, you know, planning well. That was a function of people on the ground saying, look, this has to be done. So, you know, I think you're probably going to see some of that continue. You're going to see some of these Americans get out in ways that have absolutely nothing to do with the competency of the Pentagon. And I hope that they get out. I mean, 200 some odd people, that's not a whole lot of people, but for each one of them, imagine the families that are worried right now because their folks are very much stuck behind enemy lines.
Again, joining us, Michael Shouse, the Communications Director for Nevada Policy Research Institute. Let's look ahead. Let's look ahead, first of all, for America and our future in foreign policy, our credibility around the world. Talk a little bit about what happens to America going forward after this debacle in Afghanistan.
Well, there's the first and, I think, biggest thing, and it's something that has been eating away at our credibility for a long time in the Middle East. But, you know, increasingly there seems to be less and less reasons for potential allies in the Middle East to partner with America. They look and see what's going on in Afghanistan. They see the way that so many people who literally put their lives on the line to help American soldiers were just left behind. And you're going to have a lot of folks who say, yeah, look, I don't like ISIS. I don't like the Taliban. I don't like Hamas. I don't like fill in the blank. But are you guys really going to have my back when things go down? And that's a real serious problem. One of the priorities when pulling out of Afghanistan should have been, how do we ensure the safety of the people who have decided to partner with us? Because that's the credibility issue moving forward that you need in order to work in parts of the world that are generally unfriendly to you.
Let's talk about what happens in the region. You've got the Turks. They are agreeing to run the airport in Kabul and will be a part of at least doing stuff around the airport. What happens to folks in and around Afghanistan, that region of the world?
Well, you know, I think most people can probably take some guesses, and there might be some folks that can talk about this better than me when you start talking about the geopolitics involved. But one thing that I think we can all agree on is, you know, there's not going to be increased stability in that region. And unfortunately, you know, after the Soviet Union fell, it was considered one of the biggest moments in world history where guns just flooded the market. I mean, there was a huge arms dealers loved the fall of the Soviet Union because all of a sudden they could get their hands on AK-47s and sell them to unsavory people throughout the world. We're kind of seeing a mini version of that right now with all the equipment that the U.S. left behind. Those are not going to be falling into the hands of people that we really want them to fall into the hands of. And that they're not going to stay in Afghanistan, by the way. They're going to spread out throughout the region to groups that want to do us and our allies harm. So there's a real worry of future instability, if for no other reason, just the mass amount of military equipment that was left behind and the people who very quickly got their hands on it.
Let's talk next about the Taliban. What happens to the Taliban? Will they be able to govern? Remember, you got ISIS-K that's waiting in the wings, and they have a little bit of a different agenda than the Taliban does. What happens with the Taliban? And do you really believe some of the, as Biden would say, malarkey, relative to them wanting to enter, you know, the good graces of the world and that kind of thing? Do you believe that, or do you believe that was just a song and dance to get us to go easy on them and to negotiate with them?
Yeah, you know, and I've said this before, and I'm, you know, apologize again for my libertarian bona fides showing up here, but you know, the Taliban, the only interest they would have in being seen as a legitimate force by the world is if they have a real economic interest in doing so. And I don't think they really have that economic interest right now. I think their economic interests are in just controlling the region, and or at least, you know, what regions they think they can reasonably control. So I would say that it definitely is worrisome when you see them, you know, when you see authority figures saying, oh yeah, let's just believe what the Taliban says, because I'm sure that they just want the world's love. They haven't ever really demonstrated that what they want is the world's love, so you should definitely be operating on the assumption that they probably want something else. And I'm not sure that we're going to get that from this administration, unfortunately.
And finally, ISIS-K. What is it that ISIS-K wants, similar to what you were just talking about with Afghanistan, the Taliban, rather? But what is it they want, and can they accomplish it violently as they always have?
You know, they might be able to. I mean, especially Afghanistan. One of the reasons why Afghanistan was such a difficult war, not just for us, but the Soviets before us, and, you know, everybody that's ever gone in there, it is a very tribal nation. You've got very small tribes, groups of people that, you know, kind of see things in a certain way, and you know, that is the type of culture that ISIS might be able to exploit, might be able to get away with more than they would get away with in you know, some of the neighboring regions, some of the neighboring countries. So it's definitely a worry, and it doesn't matter how big or little they currently are. And I don't really believe the Pentagon when they immediately say, oh, don't worry, we killed the guy that's in charge. You know, understand that they're probably relatively not centralized, and so it is an idea that may or may not spread throughout Afghanistan. And that's the scariest thing about whether you're talking about ISIS-K or any of the other, you know, factions out there, is that it's more than just a couple people with guns. It really is an idea that they are spreading culturally from one small group of people to another. And that's something that's a lot harder to really fight, even if you've got some of the, you know, some of the air drones that we have.
More coming up with Michael Shouse, Communications Director for NPRI. And by the way, this special NPRI report brought to you by Paul Enos and all the good folks at Nevada Trucking Association. Stay where you are. More to do as we continue on AM 670 KMZQ.
Blend of breaking news, interesting views, and informative interviews. The Jim Bohannon Show, weeknights from 7 to 10 on AM 670 KMZQ. Talk radio done right.
A union we can count on. A union with a legacy known for hard work and getting things done. We're the ones who built this city with pride. Our members are our family, and their well-being is our number one priority. Laborers Union Local 872. Vegas strong, union proud.
Carry on, my wayward son. Don't you cry no more.
Carry on, all the way to your locally owned Meineke, your one-stop shop for total car care. With Meineke e-inspection, you'll know the problem and the fix. We'll send real-time updates, photos, and technician notes straight to your phone. Book online today and get $20 off an AC recharge. Engine, brakes, tires, oil. Meineke, doing car care right. At participating locations, terms and conditions apply.
When you need legal expertise, you got a lot of options. Heck, just spend a few minutes watching local TV, you'll see plenty of legal help. Hey, Kevin Wall here. Look, no one ever wants to need an attorney. But when you do, it's important to hire one who knows the law. But more importantly, you need an attorney who shares your conservative values. That's why my small business, Battleborn Radio, trusts Craig Mueller to handle all our legal needs. Craig was born and raised here in Las Vegas, and he's our legal expert on Live and Local Now. Craig's been defending the Constitution for more than 3 decades, protecting your rights. And if you're hurt, in a car accident or on the job, Craig Mueller will get you the money you deserve. I trust Craig Mueller with my small business. You can too. Call Craig at 702-887-1731. That's 702-887-1731. 887-1731. Or visit Craig online at CraigMuellerLawyer.com. That's CraigMuellerLawyer.com.
This is Lee Habib, and I get asked all the time why we do all of those segments on Our American Stories about people who found the American dream. And we do it because it's true. This country has great stories to tell, and we tell them on this station every night, because one thing I've learned is this: there's an American story in all of us. Join me for Our American Stories right here.
Heard nightly, Monday through Friday, 10 p.m. to midnight, and Sunday, 9 a.m. to noon, only on AM 670.
I'm Sam Peters, retired military officer, Bronze Star recipient, conservative business owner, and proud American patriot. For too long, we have felt the devastating impacts of liberal elected officials, the policies they force upon us, and sadly, those citizens that just get in line, forgetting the freedoms and liberties we have as Americans. In America, we have the right, no, the responsibility, to question our elected leaders. It takes courage, but it must be done. We must have the courage to say no to mandatory vaccines, critical race theory, socialism, and the censoring of our constitutional rights. We must hold our elected officials accountable and remind them that we elected them to represent us, not rule us. As you navigate your day today, remember, do it with conservative courage, because this is your America, and liberty still matters. This message is brought to you by Sam Peters, owner of Peters Family Insurance, a local business operating with conservative courage. Call us at 702-870-4000.
Papa, why can't we telegraph while riding a horse?
Son, there ain't no one to blame but Jeffro. He was riding old Betsy the Stallion, tip-tapping away at his telegraph, when blam, ran right into the side of the saloon.
Well, if Jeffro can't do it, neither should you. Don't text and drive.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Newsmakers, newsbreakers, and everything in between. Live and local with Kevin Wall, weekday afternoons from 3 to 6 on AM 670 KMZQ. Talk radio done right.
Revisionist history begins tomorrow as the president will make a primetime address to the nation relative to Afghanistan. And Michael Schaus joining us. He is communications director for NPRI. And I can just see now the campaign is going to begin to nominate President Biden, nominating him for the Nobel Peace Prize. He ended America's longest war. Is that what we're going to begin to do tomorrow?
Well, you know, that's something I hadn't thought about before. But yeah, probably. I mean, you know, Barack Obama got it with
doing nothing for doing nothing.
Yeah, exactly. No, I would not be surprised. I mean, and that's kind of the thing is, most objective people watching what's unfolding think this is unacceptable. And it doesn't really matter where you land on the political spectrum. I mean, of course, you know, when you look at it from a political standpoint, of course you've got people on the right who would be upset with it no matter what. And of course you've got people on the left who would probably be upset with it no matter what. But there's such a cultish tribalism in politics right now that despite the fact that your own eyes will tell you this is an absolute disaster, there'll be people out there saying, no, all is fine. Everything's well. Look at what a great job he did. He ended our war. And you know, it's going to be frustrating, and it's going to be something that I'm not sure they're really going to be able to get away with that narrative.
Will we ever find out what happened? Will we ever be able to get any accountability on the part of our government, past and present, as far as why this thing went so wrong?
You know, at some point we will. The question is how long and how will those revelations be made? I mean, my guess is if this was the normal world and we had a press that actually worked the way it was supposed to work, you would probably get some of those revelations pretty quick because they would be digging around. You'd have really